Father in heaven, Lord, once again we come to you for this day that you've given us, a new day, the opportunity to be in your house, Lord, to sit around and hear your word and read your word together and study your word together. Holy Spirit of God that lives within us, Lord, may you be our teacher today. Lord, may you instruct us and guide us, Lord, from your word today as we live this Christian life in this world we live in. We're thankful, Lord, that the Spirit lives within us, again, to teach us, to guide us, and to help us every day. Without him, we know we could not make it. And Lord, we just commit now this lesson to you today, Lord, as we look at, again, this subject of Christian living. Lord, may you speak to our hearts and encourage us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in the book of James again, chapter number 1. Last week we introduced the book of James, and we said we're going to be talking about Christian living, living the Christian life. What a blessing it is, what a privilege it is, but yet on the other hand, what a challenge it is too in the world in which we live. But we looked last week and we see Christian living is literally a life of faith that's trusting God. And James, in the book, he's writing here in the book of James, he's writing about the test of our faith, the test of our faith that we have to go through. He's giving also characteristics of our faith. And then finally, he's giving the triumphant of our faith. There is victory in Jesus, folks. Faith is the victory he gives us as Christians in our world in which we live. So we're looking today as we continue our study on Christian living in James chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. We see here that James opens here with a greeting. Notice he says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. James gives a biography of himself. James says, I am a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to know that we can serve God. Amen? We serve him through his Son, Jesus Christ. Because he loved us and gave himself for us, we have the opportunity to serve him. That is to live for him every day. James was a servant. He was a server. He loved to help people. He was a teacher. He was a preacher. He was a pastor and all these things. And notice he's writing. He's writing, he says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. I said last week that these tribes were scattered because of persecution. They have been persecuted. They've been driven out different places, you see. But God sometimes uses persecution to bring glory to himself. Because God's people are more challenged. God's people look more to him. They pray more. They seek God's direction, God's will for their lives through persecution. Because we realize in time of need, the one to go to. And that's God. He's the only one we can go to. And so we see here, this is a blessing here. He's writing here, he gives short discussions about trials, about temptations, about trusting, about treasury, about religion, and all these things we're going to talk about in the book of James this quarter, the Lord willing. So we see here that he's addressing this book to the 12 tribes of Israel. Again, that have been scattered abroad throughout the nations, you see. He says that. Now, notice he says in verse number 2, my brethren, he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, I know this is the Bible and I know this is true, but sometimes I find this hard in my life to rejoice in trials and troubles that we go through. But he says here, this is a grace that I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the grace to enjoy or to go through this thing with joy. Because I'm going to be with you, you see. I'm not going to step back and let you go through it yourself. I'm going through it with you. I thank God for that today, don't you? There's not a problem we face in our life that he ain't there with us all the way from the beginning to the end, you know. And I'm glad to know that today. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations here. We see here, he speaks of trials. He speaks of temptations that we all go through in our life as Christians. And we see, as we look at this today, I want us to notice something here. First of all, we see here, as he's speaking here, he pictures these two experiences in a twofold way, trials and temptations. He speaks of them in a twofold light, if you please, these experiences we go through. First of all, there's a positive experience we go through with trials and temptation. There's a positive side to this. We see this in verse number 3. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh what? Worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He pictures these experiences here, first of all, as seen from God's perspective. When we're going through trials and temptations, God looks at them differently many times from when we look at them. Look at, see, God says here, he looks at there's a purpose. There's a purpose for everything we go through in this life, as a Christian especially. And we see here, according to verse number 3 and verse number 4, we see here that it is to purify us and to strengthen us. Notice he says in verse number 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, another word for patience is perseverance. To persevere, to go through it. You see, we also see in this passage of Scripture here, he's talking about maturity. The last part of verse number 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, that is, mature, and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, God wants his children to grow up, okay? He wants us to mature in him and through his word. He don't want us to always be a babe in Christ. He wants us to realize that whenever I face something, that God is with me and God is going to see me through it. He's going to see me through it, you see. So we see here, the positive thing about it, seeing as God's perspective is, the purpose is to purify us and to strengthen us. And then the reward of that, or the product, if you please, of that, is patience, perseverance, and maturity. When we go through these things in life, we're talking about tests and trials. And then we see God gives a promise. He gives a promise to those that go through trials and tribulations. Look at verse number 12. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. See, God has a reward for those that go through trials and temptations in their life. That is the crown of life. He offers a crown of life to those that go through this. So we see here, as seen in God's perspective, the positive side of temptations and trials. Okay? We see to purify us and to strengthen us. We see also to give us patience and give us maturity. And also there's a promise of a crown one day when we see him. He's going to crown us. He says there's a crown that those of us that endure temptations and testing in our life. Now, on the other side of that coin, we see also the negative side. And who always presents the negative side? Satan himself. See? Satan himself also is offering here the experience that he goes through. Look at verse number 13. Verse number 13. We see, as seen from Satan's perspective now. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin, it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. Death. Okay, so we see here, from Satan's perspective here, we see the purpose is, in verse 13 through 16, is to pervert and to weaken us. He wants to make us weak. He wants to change us, not want us to live for the Lord. We see the product of that is found in verse 15 and 16. Sin comes forth. Sin comes forth, and sin brings forth what? Death. Death in our lives as Christians, you see. So we see here, there is evil actions found in, like in verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. That's evil. Sin brings forth evil every time. That's what sin is. It's evil. And also possible death, according to verse 15, the last part. Sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. So we see trials and temptations. We see God's perspective. We see the Satan's perspective of this. So, and as we continue today, look about this thing about trials and temptations. today, we see that James here, as he's writing again, we see he's talking about maturity, growing up, growing in the Lord. We see about our faith in Christ. He's giving, presenting encouragement to us. He's trying to exhort us, God's side and Satan's side, and those we ought to always give mind to him. We heard a guy a few weeks ago conducting a funeral, and I think I told you this, but he reminded me of something that I need to be reminded of. When things come to my mind, they're not always of God. In fact, most of the time they're not. But when things come to my heart, in other words, God speaks to my heart. Satan uses my mind many times to discourage me and deceive me. And we need to be on guard for that. When something is in your mind, you question it. It's in your heart, and it stays there, it's God. And God wants you to do it, no matter what it is, you see. So we see here, he's exhorting us here, see. So troubles and trials come to test our faith. Now I want you to take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 22. Troubles and trials come in our lives to test our faith. See, God wants us to have strong faith, folks. Our faith should be in Him. And God has a way of growing us if we'll obey Him and listen to Him. So we see here, first of all, we're never secure. None of us are never secure from trials. Trials will come to all of us. Amen? They come to all of us. That's just life. That's just life. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to have to face them. We're going to have to face trials. But trials are not bad. Trials are for our good. We have to get that in our mind too. It's not just bad when trials come. You see, God is trying to do something for us. Now, in Genesis chapter 22, we don't deserve something here. Of course, this is Abraham. We know Abraham is old. Him and Sarah, God blessed them with a son. He was 100 and she was 90. And we find his son's name was Isaac. This was the son that God promised Abraham. God promised Abraham his son, this son. And God gave him to him. And now we see what's happening. Abraham is facing something between him and God. Notice in verse number 1 of chapter 22, Genesis 21. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. That word tempt means test. Test. A temptation has to do with evil. Test has to do with a trial, okay? Test comes to bring out the best in us from God. Temptations come from Satan to bring out the worst in us. So we see here now that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. My, what a test. Abraham, Isaac is not very old. He's a lad, no doubt. But we find here that God approaches Abraham. I want you to take your son, and I want you to take him to a mountain and offer him as an offering, as a burnt sacrifice. Can you imagine somebody, those of you that have children, someone to ask you to do that? Abraham was putting in a test here now. God was trying to prove Abraham. And we see here, notice he said here, the person to be offered. The person to be offered was who? Abraham, thy son. Thy son. He didn't say bullocks and lambs, did he? Abraham, offer thy son. Thy son. Not servants, but thy son. Not even, we see here, thine only son, that is by Sarah. Thine only son. This is who you're to offer. He was very specific as who he was to offer as a sacrifice. You see. We see here the person to be offered. Take Isaac, thy son, notice whom thou what? Thou lovest. God knew that Abraham loved Isaac. He loved him very much because he was sent from God. And now here we're seeing God is telling Abraham, you take your son, thine only son, from Sarah, the one that you love, and you take him to the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. My, what a challenge this was to Abraham. It was a test to Abraham. Now notice the place. Not only did it tell him who to take all this, but look at verse number 3. He says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now think about this. Abraham, when God approached him about offering his son, no doubt he was disturbed. He was questioned. But now God gives Abraham 3 days, 3 days to dwell on this and to journey where he wants him to go. I mean, this is really getting hard for Abraham, no doubt, you know, because he's thinking about Isaac. Every step of the way, he's thinking about Isaac. Isaac's going to die. Isaac's going to die. He did that for 3 days. He did that for 3 days. You see, we see here the place, 3 days off. Abraham might have time might to consider what's going on. See, Abraham might deliberately obey him. Is Abraham going to obey God now or not? He has time to think about this, what he's going to do during this process of time, you see, here. But notice what he says in verse number 10. Notice the manner. Verse number 10 says, and Abraham... let's go on verse number 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Notice that phrase, and come again unto you. Abraham had something in mind from God. God was going to spare him. He said, and he said right here, and come again to you. I think he was thinking about himself, yes, and also his lad, also his son is going to come back. I believe he had faith. He had faith in God, you see. So Abraham took the wood, verse 6, wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham, Isaac was questioning his father all the way, no doubt, and now it comes up, finally. You're at the destination where they're about to go to. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? In verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, I like this, God will what? God will provide. God will provide. Now listen, Abraham is in the middle of a test. And Abraham said to his son, God will provide. Now listen, whenever you're in a test, whenever I'm in a test, let's don't forget this. God will provide. God will provide. Okay? He did Abraham, did he not? He promised him, his son, God will find himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They went together, you see. Now notice, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. We notice here the manner of the offering. He offered him a burnt offering. He bound him upon the altar. Bound him, you see here. And we see here in verse number 6, we talked about him, a burnt offering, how he's going to kill his son as a sacrifice. You know, Abraham, again, had faith in his trial he was going through in his life right now. You know, there's probably never was any gold tried in such a hot a fire as Abraham was. He was in a hot fire. He was in a hot situation. He was tried. He was really tried. You know, I often think about Bible characters and all this. Who in the Bible but Abraham, who in the Bible but Abraham would not have argued with God? Most Bible characters would have argued with God, but Abraham did not. He trusted God. He trusted God. He had learned in his life. He is mature now. He's grown up some in the Lord because of his life. Life experiences help us to grow up, don't they? And we see this is what happened. Abraham is sure now that what God commands is good. No matter what it is. Whatever God commands me to do is for my good and for his glory. He's also sure that what he promises cannot be broken. What God promises you and I will never be broken, folks. And Abraham knew that now. He knew that within his life, you see. So he rises early and begins his journey. 3 days. 3 days, Isaac was in his sight. Never out of his sight, but Isaac was in his sight. And as they journeyed this journey here, we find many things took place. You know, sometimes when you know something bad is going to happen, you think something bad is going to happen in life, it makes us miserable, doesn't it? Miserable. Well, misery is made worse when it prolongs what's going to take place. Abraham, knowing that he was going to offer his son Isaac to die, the burnt offering, as he journeyed that journey 3 days, no doubt he was miserable. That was a miserable journey. That's probably one of the longest and most miserable journeys Abraham ever had, ever took in his life. He said, knowing that he's going to give his son, you see. But the expression here in verse 5, I read a while ago, we will come again to you. That's an expression of faith, as far as Abraham's concerned. Abraham comforts Isaac with this. He comforts Isaac with the same hopes with which he himself, by faith, was confronted. Abraham had faith in God. Had faith in God. That God would provide. God would provide himself a lamb. We see it's necessary that the sacrifice be bound. Abraham bound his son Isaac. Okay? We also see the great sacrifice must be bound also. The Lord Jesus Christ was. He was bound. See, this being done, here now is an act of faith and obedience on behalf of Abraham. Faith, trusting God, obeying God. God commanded him to do this. He went out and he went set forth to do it. You see, God, by his own provision, calls us sometimes to part with an Isaac in our life. There may be a time that God calls you to give up an Isaac in your life. Something that you cherish. Someone that you cherish. If he does, may God help us to have the faith that Abraham had. May God help us the faith that Abraham had. We must do it with cheerful submission to God's will, no matter what God's will is. Be cheerful. Rejoice. That's what James said, ain't it? We're to rejoice when we fall into diverse temptations. He said this to us, you see. Those that are willing to part anything for God, shall have it made up to them. God is not a debtor to anybody. There's nothing that you can give God that God ain't going to multiply and give you back. Look what happened to Job. His life. Gave it all back to him. See, God is a good God, folks. He wants us in this Christian life to realize that we need him more than anything else, and we need to trust him more than anyone else in our life. Thank God for friends. Thank God for relatives that can pray for us and help us. But in reality, folks, the only one we have to help us is God. God. But when we have God, who else do we need? We don't need nobody else, do we? When God's on our side, we're okay. Those that are willing to part anything for God, we see here, God shall make it up to you. God will make it up to you. There's no doubt about that. The test of faith. Abraham's faith was tested again. Time and time again, his faith had been tested. But no doubt, this was probably the maximum to him, knowing that he would want him to offer his son and give him, you see. So the test of faith, you see. what a Christian has. We have faith. Trials come from God. God permits these things in our life, again, to bring out the best in us. The best in us. We see Abraham now as a man of faith, man trusting God. We know the rest of the story. What happened? He raised a hatchet, was going to kill his son. And the angel of God spoke to Abraham, said, stop. Look in the fence. Oh, here's a lamb. Offer him. You've been obedient to God. Now God's going to provide something for you. My God always is there, ain't he? He's always there on the right time, you see. Trials develop our character. What is your character? Someone said that character is what you are when you're alone. Nobody's around. You have the opportunity to do anything you want to do. It's up to you. That's character. That's character. You know, you can be evil, you can be sinful, you can be wicked, you can be all kinds of things. As long as we're in this flesh, folks, we can do it. It's possible. But our character helps us to be what we ought to be. What we ought to be. So we see trials develop our character. They reveal also the imperfections in our faith. They reveal to me I need more faith. My faith, God increase my faith, is my prayer. I want more faith in God, you see. Also, we see that trials drive us to God in prayer. They help us to realize that we need to pray. We need to get along with God. We need to trust God for what we need right now in our lives, you see. We need to realize that. We also realize that trials, when the storm is intended to steady us, not to scatter us and hurt us when the storm comes. You know, there's always the calm after the storm, right? Always the calm after the storm. Well, these trials, these storms in our life, they're there to steady us, to help us to be steady. They're also to help us make up our mind, which way am I going? Which way am I going? Sometimes we go the wrong way. And God will permit things to come into our life to help us to stop and think, which way are we going? What are we really doing? We need to regroup. We need to rethink what's going on in our life, you see, sometimes. That's why these trials come sometimes in our life. We also see sometimes financial testing come, and they help us to wean us from the love of this world. You know, we don't need everything in this world. Amen? I confess to you, you probably confess to me, I've got a lot of things in life I don't need. A lot of it is just what I call stuff. Anybody else got any stuff? Got a lot of stuff, things we don't need. Well, sometimes these financial testing comes to help us to wean us away from this world. Listen, this world is going to be destroyed one day, folks. We're going to be gone one day, and all this stuff is going to be left behind. Praise God for that. We won't have to worry about no yard sales or nothing like that, do we? It's going to all be over with. Amen? But we see here trials come sometimes to help us to do that. Trials also should teach us to live in the light of this day. This is the day God has given us. Let's make this day happy and rejoice in it. Let's rejoice in it, you see. We see here Jesus himself, Christ, awarded the crown of life to those who have stood the test. Who have stood the test. I want to stand the test, don't you? I know I can't do it myself, but I can with God's help. I can with God's help, you see. Now, I know, no doubt, all of us have been through storms in life since you have begun your journey to heaven. You think back, it seems like before you were saved, there wasn't many tests, many trials in your life. But ever since you trusted Christ as your Savior and you began your journey towards heaven, they've been coming. They've been coming, hallelujah. They've been coming. They're going to come. We need to cheer up, folks. We have a captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our captain, you see. He's in control, and he has chartered your course. He has chartered my course in my life. Therefore, we can rejoice in it. We can rejoice in it, you see. He will perfect that which concerns us. He will perfect it. All things that concern us. He wants to conform us, folks, unto His image. Image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So He's trying to make us every day more like Him. He'll lead us sometimes out of the cold calm of ourselves, you see, and lead us through troubled waters. Troubled waters. Sometimes we get too much wrapped up in ourselves, you see, and God wants to get out of ourselves and think of others. And think of others. See, it's in those troubled waters that He wants us to learn two things. When you're going through troubled waters, God wants us to learn two things. Number one, that God is present and He's precious. He's present and He's precious in every storm that we go through in our life. He's always there. I like to know that He's there, don't you? I'm glad to know that He's there. We need to trust Him for wisdom, for patience, and for faith every day. Abraham trusted God. None of us ever go through anything like Abraham went through with Isaac. No doubt. He was tested. I'm going to say this. If you don't get anything I've told you today, I want you to get this. And things we go through in our life. Don't let this world we live in, folks, hide the world in your vision, heaven. Don't let it. Don't get so wrapped up in seeing things in this world that we forget about the place that we got. God has prepared for us, heaven. Don't let it blind us. Let this day, live this day, as you say, in the light of that day that you're going to be with the Lord. That day. And you'll see that God will give you the faith, He'll give you the strength, the courage to go through every storm that you had to go through life. Yes, life, Christian living, is a life of faith in God. Looking to Him, trusting Him every day, day by day, day by day. I'm thankful today to know that. God uses sometimes the winds of adversity to deepen our love in Him. How much do we really love God? Sometimes these things come to us to deepen our love for Him. Because we know He's the only one that's going to get us through it. He's the only one that will bring us through it. Therefore, we love Him more. I like the song we used to sing, I Love Him Better Every Day. In Sunday school, we used to sing that song. My, I trust we are that way. Christians are not promised smooth sailing, folks. We're not promised in this life smooth sailing as we go through this life as a Christian. But thank God we are promised a safe landing. A safe landing. One day we're going to be where God is. Amen. In the presence of Jesus. Amen. That's going to be a safe place. A safe landing that He is taking us to, you know, one day. The story was told of a farmer who had a weather vane on the top of his barn. And on that weather vane he had the words, God is love. God is love. A neighbor came by one day. He looked at the sign up there. He says, "Say, God's love is just like the wind, ain't it? It always changes." That's what he got from that weather vane. And the farmer says, "I get this. I get the fact that God's love is with me no matter what comes my way, whichever way it comes. North, east, south, west, God still loves me. You know? Whatever comes my way, which way it comes, God still loves me. And I'm thankful today to know that God loves me. He loves you." Yes, Christian living, the test of our faith. The test of our faith. Your faith is going to be tested. If your faith is not tested, you're not going to have more faith. But when the more your faith is tested, the more faith you're going to have in God. I'm glad today to know that God in heaven knows all about all of us, what we're facing in our life. And James is writing here to these persecuted Christians. I say this in love. We don't know what persecution is. But also, I know also that God loves us just like He did them. He loves us the same. He wants to help us and instruct us and guide us in our life as we go this journey. I'm bound for the promised land. Amen? Thank God for that. Thank God that the Holy Spirit is in me to help me. And I have a sure anchor, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for life itself. Lord, we all go through things sometimes in our life that we question. But yet, Lord, we realize this, Lord, that you're always with us. Thank you, Lord, for the trials. Thank you, Lord, for the testings that you put in our life sometimes to prove us, to mature us, to grow us. Lord, we thank you for the example of Abraham. Lord, how much he loved you, how much he loved his son. Yet, Lord, he was willing to obey you because he believed in you. He trusted you. He trusted in your commands. He trusted in your promises. Lord, it all was going to be okay. We thank you for that faith. God, give us more faith. God, as we journey this journey, Lord, may each day, Lord, may we walk closer to you. And God, may you give us what we need. We know you will. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Bless now the next hour. Have your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.